this morning. Many years ago, as a young person, myself and a friend went to the Faith Mission Easter Convention in Bangor, County Down. And we stayed at the youth house party in a local secondary school. And while I was there, I was introduced to something that I had never met before. I was used to people saying grace before meals, but I had never participated in singing grace before meals. And at that youth house party, we sang grace. The words we sang were words I had never come across before, but they're found here in Song of Solomon, chapter 2. An unusual choice of a book to find a grace before a meal in. Now, I'm not going to sing it for you today, but I could sing it, but I'm not linseed and going, please don't sing it. I'm not going to sing it, but it's the simple words, he brought me into his banqueting house and his banner over me is love. He brought me into his banqueting house and his banner over me is love. He brought me into his banqueting house and his banner over me is love. His banner over me is love. And I sang that at that youth house party, I don't know, many years ago now, and that has stuck with me ever since. It was a real lesson as well in the fact that you can learn a lot of scripture through singing it. And those were beautiful words just to sing before a meal, but also beautiful words that give us something of a flavor of the work of our God. And that's what I want us to think about today. It's a line from a love song. Wonder, did you pick that up as we sang Song of Solomon or Song of Songs? It's a love song. It's a Song of Solomon or a Song of Songs. And over the centuries, as people have studied this together, it's sometimes the girl singing to the boy, sometimes it's the boy singing to the girl. And over the centuries, what people have understood this as the commentators and preachers have come to this, it's a picture of the relationship between Christ and the church. He is the bridegroom, the church is the bride. Familiar image to us from Ephesians. And people therefore have seen in this Song of Songs or Song of Solomon something of the relationship between the Lord and his people. The beauty of it, the warmth of it, the love of it. And the title for the sermon today is His Banner Over Me is Love. The words here from chapter 2 and verse 4. He has taken me to the banqueting house and his banner over me is love. So let's first of all, as we consider this, just to say pretty obvious things as we come to this today, that it is speaking of a context of love. And if you want to understand the basic relationship between Christ and his people, between you and Christ, if you are a Christian today and you're in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is fundamentally a relationship of love. And I hope you grasp that. The people of God in the Old Testament, for example, asked the question of God, why did you choose us? Why, out of all the peoples that there were on the face of the earth, the Hittites, the Hivites, you know all those ites that there are in the Old Testament, the Philistines, the Greeks, and so on, the Egyptians, why did you choose us? And the answer was given, the Lord did not set his affection on you or choose you because you were more numerous or clever or more wealthy than any of the other peoples, but it was because the Lord loved you that he loved you. In other words, God elected, he chose the people of Israel. These were his people that God decided to set his love upon. And in the Old Testament, you keep coming across in the Hebrew the word chesed, which is translated as committed love, or loving kindness, or mercy, or covenant love, or dedicated love. It can be translated in different ways. It's a very special word. But it conveys the sense that God has sovereignly decided to love a people. And Psalm 136, for example, says, there are 26 verses in Psalm 136, Every single verse ends by saying, His loving kindness continues forever. 26 times in one psalm, His loving kindness or His mercy endures forever. As if God, like someone hammering a nail in. You know the way, if you want to hammer a nail, you have to hit it over and over and over again to get it to go into the wood, unless you're a real expert. But most of us have to hit it over and over and over again to get it in. God hammers it in over and over and over again. His love or His mercy endures forever. I don't know about you, but I need to hear that. Because sometimes I suspect our faith becomes a little bit academic, and we need to get it more romantic, if I could put it like that. We need our hearts to be warmed as well as our heads to be filled. We need to stir up right emotions within us. And as we read something like the Song of Songs, this love song, this love poem, God has given us this, that it would warm our hearts, that it would stir us in the depths of our being. Because as someone has said, communion with God is the crown and apex of true religion. Communion with God is the apex and crown of true religion. We don't need the academic only. We do need the academic, but we also need the romantic. A sense of fellowshipping with someone who loves us. And because the Lord loves us, well, His love is in our hearts. That takes me on, secondly, to say that within this context of love, God doesn't just set before us something meager, but He sets before us something magnificent. He brought me into His banqueting house, or into His banqueting hall, and His banner over me is love. In other words, when God brings people into His banqueting hall, He doesn't set before them to eat a biscuit and a glass of water. He doesn't set before them a snack like soup and a sandwich, but He sets before them a banquet, a slap-up meal, as we might say, a feast. That's what He spreads out before His bride, as if to say to us when we hear that it's a feast, that there's nothing stingy about God. There's nothing that He holds back from us. And I don't know about you, but when we sing those hymns that we've just been singing about Calvary, it's a reminder to us that God so loved the world that He gave us His only begotten Son, who was pierced for our transgressions, who was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him, and by His wounds we have been healed. God didn't send us an angel. God sent us His Son. And as the hymn puts it, He emptied Himself of all but love and bled for Adam's helpless race. And so Christian faith begins at the cross of Calvary, believing that what God did on the cross of Calvary, He did for me. Because He loved me, Jesus Christ gave Himself for me, as it says in Galatians chapter 2. And on the cross, the generosity of God is on display. There's no limits to the extent that He was prepared to go to in order to redeem men and women from sin and from spiritual death. And Jesus said, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Because this is God, you see. The table is emblematic of God coming down in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't know if you saw in the news, was it about a month ago? They were exploring the seas of the Antarctic, and they discovered the ship of Ernest Shackleton. One of those explorers of about 100 years ago who set out on real kind of boys' own adventures. And a ship got stuck in ice, and it was stuck, and there was nothing they could do, and it looked like he and the men were going to starve to death. But Shackleton got into a rowing boat in the days before engines. And with something of a makeshift sail, he rowed and sailed, navigated over 800 miles to get help. And then when he got there, he went back to get the men in the same way. A remarkable feat of endurance that has gone down in human history as one of those kind of, as I say, boys' own stories. But that journey, and we look at a man like that and say, what a man. A man's man was nothing in comparison to the journey Jesus Christ made. From the realms of glory to the horrors of a Roman cross. Now, if that's not love, I don't know what is. Shackleton loved his men, and he was prepared to go 800 miles there and 800 miles back to rescue them. The Son of God came from the realms of glory to the horrors of a Roman cross to save you and to save me because of his love. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, love is not a sentiment. It is a sentiment, but it's not just a sentiment. It is the most active, vital thing in the world. And the activity of Christ speaks of the fact that love is giving, going. Love is something that's active and not just something that is meager but magnificent. And I wonder today, maybe you're here today and you've just come into this service and you're not yet a Christian. Come to Christ today. And that love will be yours. Come to him today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And you will receive that love for yourself. And that takes me on thirdly and finally to the implications of all of this. He brought me into his banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Over me was love. If you think of someone getting married, and let's say they're broke, they have no money, they've got run up a lot of debt. But the person they are marrying, and I know it looks like suspiciously they're marrying for the money, but they really do love them, and this person is fabulously wealthy. And they marry this person, and when they get married, what's hers is his, and what's his is hers. The debts are paid, the bank balance becomes oh so healthy, and it's all because of love. Their fortunes are transformed. They have now got a healthy outlook, a future ahead of them because of their marriage for love has resulted in all this wealth becoming theirs by virtue of the marriage. And you know, it's like that when a person comes to Christ and is married to Christ. Their debt to God is canceled because God paid for it in his Son on the cross. And the righteousness of the Son is now credited into their account. They are perpetually in credit with God because of Christ. And if you're in Christ today, this is the amazing thing about the Christian gospel, that if you are in Christ today, you are as acceptable to God as Christ is acceptable to God. That seems like an extraordinary thing to say, but that is the implication of the gospel. You don't need to earn salvation. You don't need to prove yourself. Eating of this table and drinking this will not earn you salvation. It can't earn you salvation. But it's this, doing it is a sign where you're saying, yes, I am in Christ today. Because of Christ, I am qualified to be here. Because of his love, because of his invitation that I have responded to. It's all about Christ. No wonder the Apostle Paul's favorite expression for what it means to be saved is to be in Christ. He uses that expression scores of times, well over 100 times in his writings, in Christ or in him or in the beloved, over and over and over and over again. To be a Christian is to be in Christ. Very precious expression in the New Testament. You're united like a husband and a wife. You're joined. You're one. You're mysteriously connected by the Holy Spirit. You're joined to Christ. Your sin is laid on him, and his righteousness is credited to you. That's the new standing you have because he brought me into his banqueting house, and his banner over me is love. And in Bible times, when armies marched to war, the soldiers marched behind banners or colors they might have been called. They followed the banner. They fought for the banner. They rallied to the banner if they got scattered in the course of the battle. The banner was really important in producing a sense of unity and loyalty to the cause. And the cross of Christ is the banner that the Christian rallies to. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Doesn't mean that the only thing Paul ever preached was the cross. His letters are full of teaching on Christian lifestyle or church government or relationship with the state or spiritual gifts. Many, many other subjects are covered. But what he meant was when he said, I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified, is that you keep coming back to the cross as your rallying point. Because there you see his banner over me as love. That's the sign of the love of God. That's where salvation is found. That's where life begins. That's where sin is judged. And that's where God is glorified. And when I know this, I am blessed. And I just am full of gratitude. And I want to serve the Lord. I want to be obedient to the Lord. I want to live a holy, God-honoring life. I wonder, can you say today, as perhaps you come to sit at this table, yes. He brought me. I can't believe it. There was a time in my life when I was nowhere, but he brought me into his banqueting house. And oh, I know his banner over me is love. And this is pulling me back to the cross. This is a reminder of that sacrifice, of that bloodshed, of that forgiveness. And so I want to sing this love song today. This heartwarming, this affirming, this delighting love song. Because I didn't deserve it. But it's all about him. It's all about Jesus and coming to him and to his presence in my life. So today, the invitation is to come to this table. We're going to sing a song now, and we're going to prepare our hearts as we've been listening to his word. And we're going to sing